Thank you, Sean. I'd like to welcome everyone here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm kind of trying to get my thoughts together a little bit on how I want to go about this. Hope you're not tired of seeing me up here. It seems like I've been busy the last 3 weeks. I've been up here semi-regular, it seems like. But that's okay. Whatever the Lord's will might be. Yeah, I was getting a little bit nervous Sunday morning today because usually I have some thoughts placed upon my mind about what it is that I'm going to present to you in my sermon. That happened yesterday morning when I woke up. So I didn't have all week to throw some scriptures together and then put them together, it seemed like. But I woke up and I had a heavy feeling about prayer. And so I said, Lord, I did that just a few sermons back. And, don't take this wrong, but it was basically, I got, so what? That's what I'm supposed to preach about. So we're going to preach about prayer and everything we do, the ordinances that we have in this church. It's always involving prayer. This morning, as they blessed a little child, they said a prayer and blessed the little one. So I'm going to start my sermon on page 648 in the Book of Mormon. Third Nephi chapter 8. And this is where Jesus has made an appearance to the people on this continent. Sorry, we must be having trouble with the speakers this morning, or with the mic this morning. In verse 12, it says, "And it came to pass that he commanded their little children that their little children should be brought." This is Jesus speaking. And he commanded, "Bring your little children here." So they brought their little children and sat them down on the ground around about him. And Jesus stood in the midst. And the multitude gave way till they had all been brought unto him. All the little children that were in the midst were brought up around Jesus. And it came to pass that when they had all been brought, and Jesus stood in the midst, he commanded the multitude that they should kneel down upon the ground. A commandment that they should kneel on the ground. And it came to pass, when they had knelt upon the ground, Jesus groaned within himself and saith, "Father, I am troubled because of the wickedness of the people of the house of Israel." And when he had said these words, he himself also knelt upon the earth. And behold, he prayed unto the Father, and the things which he prayed cannot be written. And the multitude did bear record, which heard him. And after this manner do they bear record. The eye hath never seen, neither hath the ear heard before, so great marvelous things as we saw and heard Jesus speak unto the Father. And no tongue can speak, neither can there be written by any man, neither can the hearts of men conceive so great and marvelous things as we both saw and heard Jesus speak. And no one can conceive of the joy which filled our souls at the time we heard him pray for us unto the Father. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of praying unto the Father, he arose. But so great was the joy of the multitude that they were overcome. And it came to pass that Jesus spake unto them and bade them arise. And they rose from the earth, and he saith unto them, "Blessed are ye because of your faith. And now behold, my joy is full." And when he had said these words, he wept, and the multitude bare record of it. And he took their little children, one by one, and blessed them, and prayed unto the Father for them. Each and every one of them, he took and blessed them individually. And he set an example for us that when we pray that we should kneel upon the ground, because he commanded the multitude that they should kneel upon the ground. That kneeling is a sign of honor to someone who is in authority over us. It's a humbling posture that that we take when we kneel upon the ground. In many places it says that they put their face upon the ground. But it's in honor of who it is that we come before when we pray. The Creator of the whole universe. The God that created us. You know, I've had a question posed to me in the past. It's been several years, but I have heard it before. Heard it from, I believe it was somebody I worked with. Talking about prayer, probably. And it goes like this. If God knows everything from beginning to end and knows our every need, why do we pray? If He knows what we need anyway, why do we pray? Well, I asked Lana that yesterday, just out of curiosity. She didn't even hesitate. The answer was, it's being obedient. It's humbling ourselves and communicating with God. You know, when we kneel down, it's showing honor to Him, as I said before. We're commanded in the Scriptures to pray. And God wants that communication from us. Does He need it? Probably not, but we need it. We need that communication with our Heavenly Father. We need to ask for things in our lives, and we need to pray for others. Let's go to page 285 in the Book of Mormon. Mosiah, the 11th chapter. Start at verse 148, probably. Alma was going about teaching the people of the land. And in verse 148 it says, "And now in all these things did Alma and his fellow laborers do, which were over the church, walking in all diligence, teaching the word of God in all things, suffering all manner of afflictions, being persecuted by all those who did not belong to the church of God. And they did admonish their brethren, and they were also admonished, every one, by the word of God, according to his sins, or the sins which he had committed, being commanded of God to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in all things." Being commanded of God to pray without ceasing. And to give thanks in all things. All things. Not just the good things that we get, but all things. Flip over a page to 287. This is the son of Alma. Him and the sons of Mosiah were going about to destroy the church of God. And the people of the church and his father Alma had been praying for him. And they were struck down. I'll just start in verse 165. It says, "Nevertheless, he cried again." This is the angel of the Lord. "Nevertheless, he cried again, saying, Alma, arise and stand forth, for why persecutest thou the church of God? For the Lord has said, this is my church, and I will establish it, and nothing shall overthrow it, save it is the transgression of my people. And again the angel saith, Behold, the Lord hath heard the prayers of his people, and also the prayers of his servant Alma, which is thy father. For he hath prayed with much faith concerning thee, that thou mightest be brought to the knowledge of the truth. Therefore, for this purpose have I come to convince thee of the power and authority of God, that the prayers of his servants might be answered according to their faith." I'm going to skip down to verse 175, and it says, "And now I say unto thee, Alma, go thy way, and seek to destroy the church no more, that their prayers may be answered. And this is even if thou wilt thyself be cast off." the prayers of his father for his son and the prayers of the people in the church. You know, I can probably name off several, but I won't do it, that we know of as a group of people that they have gone astray. People in our own families, people in our lives that we know. We need to be diligently praying for those people, that they might be brought to the knowledge of who their God is and the power and authority that lies therein. Matthew 26. The scriptures are full of many examples of people praying for themselves and for others. And Jesus, he even prayed that we might be converted by the preachings of his servants. It's my way of saying it. But you know, prayer doesn't always have to be just in large groups, and it shouldn't be. We're commanded that we should go into our closets, wherever it is that our private spot is, to pray. If it's in your closet, fine. Well, I think that's just a use of wordage, maybe. You know, wherever it might be. You know, Jesus went into the wilderness. You know, Enos was out hunting and prayed for his brethren. Gets boring on a deer stand at times. So I catch myself praying for people. Not so much that a deer will come my way, but for the concerns that I have, for especially for those that have went astray. Matthew 26, verse 36. Jesus has his disciples with him, and then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Set ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. But what I want to stress is he took three of the disciples with him for a ways. Then he asked them to stay there, and he went a little farther. He went off to be by himself. And it says that he fell on his face. He probably knelt down and humbled himself. Even him being the Son of God gave us an example that we're supposed to pray. Even him being the Son of God, he knelt down before his Father and communicated with him. I'm going to read one verse out of Moroni, the 6th chapter, page 762, if you want a page number. We try in this church to go by the scriptures on how we do things. And I believe we follow it real close, or I wouldn't be here. But it says in the 6th chapter of the book of Moroni, in verse 6, it says, And the church did meet together oft, to fast and to pray. I don't know how often oft is, but it's often. It's oft. To fast and to pray. We do that. And to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. We do that lots of times in private, mostly, I think. We speak to people for the welfare of our souls. And we also give testimonies that of the things that God has done in our lives. And they did meet together oft to partake of bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. We do that. It's an ordinance. We come together. And that we pray one for another. I'd like to go to Luke 18. Couple of examples here that Jesus gives and uses to teach his disciples, and I believe it can very well be used for us also. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. I guess I have to ask, because here a while back when I preached on praying, I had a problem because I was getting away from it. I thought, I don't have time, I got other things I want to do. How many people have ever thought, don't raise your hands. It's just a question. But have you ever been that way in your life? Maybe not exactly the way I am. But if you've found yourself just going about things, and all of a sudden you remember, you forget that you forget to pray. My problem was I was doing it on purpose. It's like, I don't have time to pray. So I've started praying, making sure that I kneel down every morning. I take that time because I used to do it constantly. And then I got away from it. And I found out that, you know, I still have problems in my life. I still get upset. I still worry about things. But I have to tell you, it's made it easier. It's made it easier for my, because of the attitude that I have. Because I try to make sure that I pray without ceasing as I go about the day, as I'm prompted, as I'm driving down the road or otherwise, to either pray about my work or pray about people that I know have problems that have come up. And I feel better. That men ought to always pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, and neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, when it says, hear what the unjust judge saith, this widow kept coming to him and kept troubling him. I don't know if praying to the Lord's troubling the Lord, but he wants to hear from us. He wants us to continually keep coming before him in prayer. He wants that. Verse 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. For I fast twice in a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. I'm somebody. That's what he's saying. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus goes on to say, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. All he said was, is forgive me. Humbling. You know, when I read that, I think of the Zoramites. I'm not going to go read it. We're going to finish early today, probably. But the Zoramites had a deal where they would go up onto this high thing and they would repeat the same words, each and every one of them that went up there. And they would say, and they would thank the Lord that they're better than anybody else. You know, I could do that standing here. I'm better than you all are. I'm a preacher. But what's that going to do to me? It's going to get me in trouble for one thing. Another thing is it's not right. None of us are better than anybody else. Some of us just have more problems than others, and some of us have different things that they have to deal with. And all those things that we have, if we really look at them, aren't they teaching us something? Aren't they teaching us to be closer to God? They're teaching us to be humble within ourselves. We all have had problems in our lives, have we not? We have. Each and of us, each and every one of us, different things. I believe that they're used as teaching tools. That we can find out where we're at lots of times with Christ and how we should be as a Christian. Do I like it when the Lord points out something to me? No, I don't like it. But I'm glad He does it after I think about it, because then I can work on that problem that I have. And hopefully it brings me closer to Christ, and hopefully my light for Christ shines better, that I might be an instrument to bring somebody to the light. Yeah, I was studying for this sermon yesterday, and I was online and I was looking here and there and at other things, and I ran across an example of a prayer that I'd never thought of before. And it's not what we call the Lord's Prayer, and it's not in John the 17th chapter where Christ prays for us. It's in Colossians. And so I went and I looked at it, and it's like, I like it. So I'm going to go to Colossians, the first chapter. I'm going to use this as closing. It might take a while to close, but that's what I'm going to use. Colossians, the first chapter. This is Paul, and he has written to the Colossians in the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. Both of them were there. Timothy must have been with Paul when he wrote this. I'm going to go down to verse 7. It says, and as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. This gentleman had declared unto Paul and Timothy that the Colossians, they had a love and a spirit. And in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, from whenever they heard that the Colossians had this love, the day that they heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I think we can pray this prayer for anybody. We can pray that they'll have the knowledge of God's will in their life, and that they'll have all wisdom, and that they'll have spiritual understanding. Isn't that something that we want? Something I want? That I might have His knowledge. What other wisdom would you want other than His wisdom and spiritual understanding? You know, that I might truly know God's will for my life in all aspects. Is there anybody out there that hasn't asked at one time or another, God, what's your will for my life? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That we might walk worthy of being called Christians. That we might truly be the light of Christ. And thereby that we might be able to, what you would call, produce fruit. That we might bring people into Christ's fold. That we might increase in the knowledge of who God is. I'd love it if you guys would pray that for me whenever you're out and about. Verse 11. I'll just go back to this last part of verse 10. And increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Patience and long-suffering with joyfulness? Yeah. Because we know that He's doing a work in us. That we're strengthened by His might and His glorious power. He's the giver of all good gifts. He won't give you something that's not good. Even though it may seem bad to you at the time, when it's finished producing what it is meant to produce within you, you can look back in time and say, that was good for me. I can look back and I can say that I almost lost my wife because I was being an evil person. But I can look back on that time and I can say I learned something from it, and I struggled for years to become, I hope I'm a good husband. You'd have to ask Lana, but I think I am. And I think you all see that in me, I hope. But at the time, my guts were torn apart. But yet when I look back at it, the things that I learned in that time period were great. And my marriage is strong. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. He sent His Son to deliver us from darkness, to make an atonement for the fall of Adam, to buy us back from the sin, and to give us a hope in His resurrection that we can have eternal life with Him. I hope that the things that I've brought forth will get us to think seriously about prayer. It's a powerful thing, and it's a powerful, do I want to call it a tool? I don't know if that's the word I want or not, but that's what I'm using. It's a tool we have as Christians. to help each other out, to help us out. So as I know, as Jerry Case has said from here before, pray for me and I'll pray for you. Thank you very much.